Hello, my name is Sam Dunnewald, and I am the host of Dice Exploder, the Emmy-nominated podcast all about RPG design right here on the Many-Sided Network. And after years of interviews and ideation with some of the best designers in RPGs, my first print game is coming to Kickstarter. Band-Aids and Bullet Holes, a John Wick-inspired game about getting your bloody revenge. Band-Aids and Bullet Holes is a game about standing in the shadow of a skyscraper in the pouring rain, bathed in bubblegum neon and someone else's blood, staring down at the man who ruined your life all those years ago, raising the barrel of a gun and asking, "Will you pull the trigger?" Band-Aids and Bullet Holes is a one-shot capsule game box set deck builder RPG, and you can follow it right now on Kickstarter. Back Band-Aids and Bullet Holes on May 5th.
The late afternoon light spills through the open garage doors at Bonnie Brothers Mechanics. The floor is coated in a thin layer of dust and oil, just enough to stick to your boots. A beat-up fan hums in the corner. It's barely keeping up. The old radio is tuned too far to the left. You know, music fizzes in and out. Wayne's on the roof, patching the solar rig. Elias, you are down below, toolbox open, you know, grease already on your arms. Familiar rhythm between you guys. Like this is just another page in the book that you guys have been writing for years. And he's occasionally calling down to you for help. You actually hear the, he makes the sound. He goes, like he has the old walkie and you know that he doesn't have to make the noise, but he makes the noise anyway. He goes, yo, genius, you dropped the damn ratchet again or is this part of your process now?
Elias is playing with the wrench in his hand and tauntingly goes back with his talkie, making the sound to spite his brother. Now listen, Big Red, your eyes ain't as sharp as they used to be. I got it right here. And he tosses it up gingerly.
And he catches it and he goes... Listen, I'm not that old, okay? I'm just a few years older than you. You watch yourself, buddy.
You know, they say older and wiser, but I think for you, Red, it kind of got older and wider.
Oh, that's just cruel. That's just mean. Don't make me come down there, little brother. I will tell Alice about the time you cried over your carburetor.
Oh, all right. Peace talks. Truce.
Peace. Truce. Truth it is, man. And a couple minutes go by and you hear it, the line open up again on the walkie. He says, "Hey, you got eyes on that half inch socket, the one with the red tape on it. Should be in the bottom drawer unless you moved it like a jackass again."
I thought we were on a truce. Elias goes and finds it exactly where it was. And trepidatiously climbs up the ladder to hand it to his brother because he knows if that one falls and clatters on the ground, he'll be getting the hollering from him.
Yeah. Thank you, little man. And you're not little anymore, but he likes to call you that.
He accepts it.
Can you explain to me what these walkie-talkies look like?
These two walkie-talkies are bright red and orange. They were part of an old set. They were sort of an off-brand of a space radio show. So like they have this childish little lightning bolts on each one. Wayne's has a single lightning bolt, and Elias's has two lightning bolts. They are definitely a little smaller for their adult, full grown adult hands, but. They hold on to them sort of as a good luck charm for the shop and for, you know, hopefully fortune spinning in their favor.
Yeah. So they're kind of childlike.
Yeah. They're banged up. They got duct tape on them. And Elias has definitely tinkered with them to sort of increase their range a little bit for more adult things.
Yeah. So how long have you guys had these?
Oh, we've had these since, I would say, Elias's 10th birthday. They were actually a gift from Wayne. Mm-hmm. He saved up
for
it.
And how old is How old is Elias now?
Elias now 30. I'll say he came home around, he's 32. I'll say this is like early on when he first came home. I'll say like 32 and Wayne's 37.
Okay, so you've had these for a long time. And obviously you guys have kept them for a reason.
Yeah, it was actually something Elias held on to when he left to go work for Sentry. And Wayne sort of used that as a sort of a way to keep Elias in good spirits when he lost the job.
Oh, okay, I see.
Yeah.
So, he says, but you hear another burst of static as he adjusts something above. He says, solar rig up here has been, it's being a pain in my ass, man. That bracket's not flush. I need you to throw me the long T-handle, okay? Not the short one, the long one with the rubber grip. Don't you dare mix them up.
Oh, no. Whatever will I do if I can't tell two tools apart?
Huh. Come on, man. I know you know the difference. Come on.
Elias very easily. He grabs both, the smaller one and the larger one. He throws up the smaller one as a joke, waits for Wayne to sort of turn his back because he can be at this high, like, afternoon. He can see his brother's shadow. So he waits for the shadow to kind of turn up and turn, and then he tosses the other one.
Hey, man, come on.
Well, I need to reorganize them tools anyway, so.
Don't be dumb, man. So, you know, you sometimes you act dumb, but you work smart. Just like Dad, if he actually gave a damn about doing things right. As he, like, picks them both up and starts to continue to work. There's, like, a pause, a little bit quieter now. Almost like he forgot to let go of the receiver button. Could use another pair of hands up here, just saying.
Elias goes to the janky little mini fridge that they have in the garage. He pulls out two cold bottles of beer, and he puts them into his big baggy pockets so he can climb up safely. He fell down one time, ass over tea kettle, and Wayne never let him forget. So
yeah,
he climbs up this time. And he uses his little wrench to pop the caps open. We say it's time for a little break up here, and then I'll be your third and fourth set of hands.
Yeah, thank you. I actually agree. And you see, he's like sweating up here. It's kind of like a hot, like mid May, but in the Southern Republic, it's really hot in this time of the year. And you see that there's like two chairs that have already been set up. This is kind of like a place that you guys would commonly just come up and just like watch the sun rise or watch it set and just talk. So he goes and he goes to sit down. And he like pats the chair next to him. He goes. He's looking at you, but he's not saying nothing. But and then he talks. Listen, you gonna ask her out or not? You know who I'm talking about. Alice.
Says, shoot, hostile negotiations in the midst of a truce, I see.
I'm just saying, Liz, a girl like that doesn't stay single long.
Yeah, you're right. You're wiser than Daddy ever was, so I don't know why you...
Oh, I mean, you're right about that.
But
listen, I'm serious, you know. Don't be like me, man. Don't wait till everything else falls apart, basically.
Yeah, brother, with me around, things ain't gonna fall apart that easily. But I'll tell you what. We break the record that you and Mama set up with the amount of work we can get done over the summer. And maybe by then, I'll go ask her out. I'll tell you what.
Okay. Listen, that sounds like a challenge I am ready to accept.
That means and you have to pull like, your own weight, brother.
Listen, I got enough weight. Okay, I got to worry about it.
I wasn't even making that joke. You don't blade yourself.
You're smarter than you look. He grabs his bottle and kind of clinks it with yours.
Gingerly clinks back.
Yeah. And he goes, but yeah, man, you're better than this place. But if you're staying, might as well stay with someone, you know what I mean? Don't stay alone.
What do you mean? I got you.
Yeah, you got me. I mean... Look at me. I got hard. I don't got those soft, you know, curves of a woman. You know, this is different.
Oh, you be. You're talking them romance talk. All right, I see.
Of course,
Sorry.
of course, brother. That's what I'm saying. Don't be like me, man. I waited and look at me now. I don't know.
You talking about everybody in town knows you. Everybody loves Wayne.
Everybody loves Wayne, but they don't really love me. You know what I mean? I haven't gotten loved in a long time.
All right. I know I'm your brother and all, but you... all right.
Listen, we can talk about anything. I thought we could talk about anything, brother.
All right. I have a better idea for this wager.
Let's hear it.
If I ask Alice out, you have to go ask Carolina out at the diner down the road. I see you eyeballing her last time we had some breakfast there.
Yeah, she's way out of my league. Have you?
Hey, you know what?
No way.
You just shoot your shot, brother. I'll be right there. I'll be your wingman.
Wingman. You can barely hand me the right wrench sometimes.
Only because I want to make sure you can memorize them.
Okay. But listen, she won't look twice at me.
Tell you what, give him that winning smile, and anybody will give you a look.
You're right. I do got a winning smile. He smiles. He has like a slight gap in his teeth. But it is just like part of his charm, though.
Yeah, very wholesome.
Yeah. He goes, okay. I've just been thinking lately, man, about all this kind of family stuff. And, you know, I'm getting older, up in age. Just thinking about kids and, you know, I don't know. Kind of just stares off.
Oh, man, brother, you got some idle thoughts. I got to really push this Carolina job on you.
Nah, it's not a job. That was a job, my man.
If I look at it as a job, like a task, then I can focus on it and get it done.
Yeah, you're right, I guess. Not everything's a task and a job, though, brother.
Yeah, you say that. And I keep listening.
Yeah, I guess that's your best trait. You're all good at listening.
When the person talking's worth listening to, I'll say.
You're right about that. He raises his glass to that. That's just something that's been on my mind. You know what I mean? You know, thinking about Mama and she's not being well, and she's always wanted to see grandkids. I've always been a little, you know, disappointed I couldn't provide for her in the way she wants, you know.
Hey, you know, Mama wouldn't be here if it weren't for you here taking care of her and giving her some busy work to do before she really took a spin for the worse. And
Yeah.
You put a lot on your shoulders, Wayne.
Yeah. You know, I took Mama out to the lake a couple days ago, and it was just nice to see her, you know, smiling. I hadn't seen that in a while.
Yeah, well, maybe we can see if the weather stays as warm as it is. Maybe we can take her out there again and see if she's, you know, get her out there early so she's not out after dark and all, and get her meds
on
time.
Of course. Yeah, she, you know, her complaining, oh, I can't see, it's too late, it's too dark, I can't see nothing. Yeah, but let's make it a whole, like, a community thing. You know, she loves talking to people. Let's get people from the diner, you know, the kids who play at the park. Let's go somewhere and make a day of it. Yeah?
Yeah, but you know what? I could fire up that old grill you broke, and we can make a big barbecue.
Why you gotta mention that I broke
because
it?
Because you
I
were so damn
right
proud of it, I have to take you down a little, just
damn.
A little bit, Wayne.
God, I fixed it. I practically fixed it better than what it was in the beginning after I broke it. Maybe some would say that it was meant to be broken, so that the Wayne hands, the hands of Wayne, some would say the hands of God, would touch him and bring him back to life, you know what I mean?
Brother, you've been baking in the sun for too long.
I think I've been baking in the sun. I don't know. But some say I do got the Midas touch.
Yeah. I believe that when you touch that barbecue and it doesn't burst into flames.
Okay. That sounds like a challenge. Looks like you and me are cooking up some steaks. We're going to serve it to people. See who's got the best meat.
All right, brother. I'll tell you what. If I win, you got to ask Carolina out first.
Okay, you know, you got a deal. But listen, I'm serious about Alice, okay? You're getting up there in age, and I heard your knees popping a couple days ago, okay?
Yeah.
We're getting up there, brother.
All right. Only because you keep asking about it, and I know you won't shut up until I do it.
Okay, let's shake on it. He puts his hand out.
He clasps his hand.
We have an accord. Eventually, you know, maybe an hour passes. He gets back up. He says, you know, let me get back to the solar rig. But you said you'd stay up here, okay? So when I call for a wrench, you give me the wrench. Okay? Just like old times. We've been doing this for years. You got this.
All right, all right. I will take the brunt of the sun's rays while you go hiding under the rig to make sure it's fixed.
Yeah. You could use some... You could use some color. And he gets back to working. You know, calls for a wrench. You hand it without looking. You don't need to. It's kind of like a dance that...
Yeah.
It's muscle memory at this point. Kind of a shared language. Silence. A little bit of sarcasm. A little bit of snark and sweat. You say something. He says something back. You know, there's laughter throughout. Between you guys, it's loud. It's stupid. It's warm. But it's, you know, it's that familiarity that just comes with Wayne and working together for all these years.
The routine brings some composure.
Exactly. Eventually, the sun rig, you know, it gets finished and the solar rig is done and complete. He kind of wipes the sweat off. He goes, whew, I think that deserves a party. I think we should, just getting this thing fixed, I think we should call some people over right now and just get a whole shindig started right now. You know what I mean?
Hell yeah, brother. I can get some of the people on the horn and let them know we're going to have a celebration. Wayne fixed the rig and it only took him a few hours instead of all day.
Okay, good one, bro. Okay, good. Brother, I'm getting better. Last time, you're right. Last time it took all day, but with your help... it only took a few hours, like you said. But listen, call up some people. I'm gonna go down, help Mama, and we're gonna just get little get together. You know what I mean? We'll have some music. I'll do the cooking. You don't have to worry about it.
Alrighty, I'll get some brewskis. I'll get the cards out.
Exactly, and get the dominoes too, because I'm gonna whoop your butt this time.
Oh man, 13 times a loser. I can't wait to see.
Listen, if technically I was losing to Mama, okay, so I'll gladly take it. She can whoop us any day of the week, as you know.
That is true. She is a legend.
A legend at the dominoes, at the bones, as she likes to call it. Okay, you go do that, and I'm gonna go get Mama ready.
Roger, Big Red.
And he makes his way over. To go visit your mom. Would you say she's not at the shop, but maybe she's at your family home?
Yeah, I would say that what Elias and Wayne have done is, they have like a little cottage house that they had that was their old home. And when Elias came back, some of the money he and Wayne had pooled away, they bought like a little like camper to kind of like sit adjacent to the house. So it's kind of like a big, like a front yard with a small cottage on the left and a little camper on the right.
Mm-hmm. And at this time, is your mother, is she not doing well at this time, or is she in a decline?
She's definitely in a decline at this time, but mm-hmm. she doesn't let it show. She definitely mm-hmm. has, Elias definitely gets his stubbornness from his mother, where she mm-hmm. definitely takes care of herself more than she's supposed to.
Yeah,
Always takes her medicine on time, but probably does a little more activity than she should, and has a little too much of the spicy food when she's not supposed to be having that.
Exactly. A little too much salt in her diet.
Yeah.
So you're not there, but what we see is Wayne does go back to the family home area to go help, you know, pick up your mother, and she's already outside kind of like working in the garden. You see her just on her knees, like picking and pulling weeds and stuff like that. Wayne, you can see him just shaking his head, disappointed. He's like, Mama, what are you, Mama, get up off the ground. And then, you know, start to help her up. You see her like wave him off as he's like, she he grabs onto her arm and lifts her up. And you can kind of just see them talking, and he gives her a quick hug and starts to explain about the little get together and how he's going to drive her over there. And you see a smile comes on her face, and she starts to cough and just looks a little worse for wear today. Like some large bags under her eyes. She's looking a little skinnier. And, you know, eventually they get there. About an hour passes. And it's underway. A lot of people from the community have made their way over. I'm going to say it's happening at the shop. Why not? A little barbecue.
Yeah, we don't have any vehicles that need to stay overnight. We were able to open up one of the garages to make some space for everyone.
Mm-hmm. So you see a lot of people from the community, especially around where your family home is. You see that Wayne has just like gone around the neighborhood a little bit. You've got rounded up even more people, and some people have brought their own food. So it's kind of like a potluck barbecue type thing with music playing in the background. What is Elias thinking at this moment?
At this moment, Elias is looking around. He's passing around a couple more cold beers to everybody. He's watching Wayne cook some burgers and hot dogs on the grill that he boastfully fixed. Mm-hmm. He's got a very, like, foolish-looking little apron on.
Mm-hmm.
It says Big Tex. It's got a cowboy hat on it. And, mm-hmm. like, a big, dumb smiley face with a red scarf. And, Elias bought him that as a joke, but Wayne has worn it in spite of that. So mm-hmm. brings a little smile to his face, and he can see a bunch of the kids running around, you know, playing Space Rangers and things like that. He overhears a couple of the parents talking about the kids in school and all the new stuff coming in, all the new mm-hmm. tech, and Elias listens a little longer than he wanted to, getting a little... just almost like he's looking for a reason to find something to be upset about.
Yeah.
Like, he's fully aware he shouldn't be listening, but he is.
Yeah. As you're listening in, you do hear kind of like two mothers who are talking, and one of them's like, have you heard about these new neurocasters? They have the kids in them all day. That's how they're teaching them now. The kids don't leave the classroom. They don't go out and move. They just sit down. They put these things on their head. And then they just disappear. And the other one's like, you know, that is very concerning. I mean, my little Billy, he doesn't want to leave school. He wants to stay. And they're just kind of, you know, they're talking and they sound really, really concerned about these neurocasters and how it's like the new thing these days. But they're very worried about it.
Yeah, Elias definitely isn't too fond of that idea. Mm-hmm. Growing up very practical, like everything he does, he tries to use it. Even when he was working with Sentry, he did his best to do things more in a more pragmatic, hands-on way as much as he could, because he just didn't mm-hmm. trust his own mind even then. So it's just like he'd rather just do things physically. So hearing that it's happening with kids, when he sees like some kids playing and hearing that, definitely his whiskers on his mustache bristle as he scoffs mm-hmm. and takes a swig. Doesn't know these parents. He thinks about saying something, but then he sees that Wayne needs some help as there's a bit of smoke yeah. coming out of the barbecue.
He says, oh, hey, little brother. Well, listen, I know you saw some smoke, so that's why you're here, but listen, I swear it's fine. I just added water. Yeah, that's why it's smoking.
Okay,
and
okay.
You kind of see him like hiding something behind his back.
okay. I suppose this batch will just be, we'll put them under well done.
okay, you caught me. And you see him like has large tongs and is like a burnt burger patty. It was because he was talking to Carolina, who also did come to the get together. And she's now talking to a couple other people in the back. And he's like, sorry, I got distracted. I'm just going to give this to the dog. Tosses it on the ground.
Yeah, I'm sure one of them scamps will come take that. How about you let me take over for a little bit, and you go ask Carolina how she likes her hot dogs or something. And
Nah, that wasn't the deal, brother. Not now. No. Too soon. Look at me. I look dumb. I look so dumb right now. Look.
He He tussles his brother's hair. He kind of cleans out some of the soot in his beard. He's like, you look you look like a regular Clint Eastwood.
Oh, I mean, there's no higher compliment. Okay, I mean, I don't know.
You don't have to be. You don't have to be asking her out for dinner. Just ask her how she likes her food. Small talk. You got to plant the seed, brother.
Right. Okay. You know, I'm great at small talk.
There you go. Just do that. Do your smiling salesman bullshit. Just with a big smile. Ask her how she likes it. If something happens, that ain't my problem. But
okay, you got it. Okay. He starts to take off the apron. Here, hold this, and he throws it and tosses it right in your face.
Yeah. Elias shuffles and awkwardly ties it and adjusts it for his much smaller frame.
Mm-hmm. Your brother and his kind of burlier build kind of makes his way over sheepishly, like a teenager again.
Yep.
And you see him talk to her. You can't hear the conversation, but you can like see out of the corner of your eye, like, he's like all like the nervous tics. Him just kind of like grabbing onto his arm, like brushing his hair back. But she is smiling at him. And it almost looks like it could be flirting, but it looks like it's like going over his head a little bit.
Elias sees the equations in his head.
Yeah.
And sees, oh no, Big Red's floundering.
Oh, he goes to like give her a high five, and it's awkward.
Elias holds back a chuckle.
And so he gives her a high five, and you see him just like kind of like not punch her arm too hard, but just like a and it is a little bit too hard, and you see her like rub her shoulder, and she like nervously laughs, and he's nodding, and then he just like rushes away and like comes back to you. Okay, I think it went well, brother, actually. Wow.
All right. I will reserve my notes until party's over, but I'm
you have notes, ladies man.
No. I'm just an observation. Because making sure my brother finds some happiness is now my newest task. So I'm going to analyze this, and I have some notes. But overall, and he punches him in the arm. Proud of you.
he's laughing, and then he goes, oh, because he sees something behind you. And then you hear, hi, Elias. And you turn around and it's Alice. And you see her and her like brunette hair. She has green eyes. And she's still wearing like her apron from the diner. Like she just got off of work. You could still see like her work badge and stuff like that. She goes, hi. Hi, Wayne called the diner. And he said that you guys are throwing like a little get together, like an impromptu type thing. Wayne's always doing this type of thing, like once a week.
Oh yeah, one of the, you know, just a Bonnie Brothers barbecue, you know. We love the alliteration, so we gotta celebrate that.
it's quite beautiful, the alliteration. What are you making?
He turns around, and he's definitely let one side cook a little too long. And he flips them over very quickly. He's like, well, I got some well-done beef burgers here. We got some hot dogs. I believe some of the kids brought some fish down from the lake, but going to let those cook a little longer. You never know with them fish.
Yeah, exactly. I just, you know, well-done happens to be my favorite type of burger. And she just, like, puts some hair behind her ear. And your brother, like, swoops in. Oh! Well, it is. Well, this young whippersnapper right here, like, claps his arm over your shoulder. That happens to be his specialty, isn't it, brother?
Well, yeah. Well, when you think about the heat and the safety of the food and the temperature being properly, yeah. I would say I'm rather astute to know on the. Yes. Do you want cheese?
Oh, she goes, I'm sorry, I think I'm lactose intolerant. I'm sorry.
Oh, no,
I don't mean
no
to
worries, no worries. We got I can cut up some tomatoes. We got some lettuce and some other vegetables. Whatever you want.
That would be perfect. That would be perfect. And then you see someone yells, "Hey, Alice, over here." And like someone calls her in the back. And she goes, "I'm just going to go say hi to Miss Linda over there." So but it was nice talking to you, Elias.
Yeah, sure. Good to see you, Alice. I'll have your a pristine burger, well done, prepared for you when you get back.
Oh, thank you so much. Okay, I'll talk to you later.
Toodles.
She scuttles off. Goes, and your brother goes, Toodles?
Why the fuck did I say that?
What are you talking about?
It just came out of my mouth. I blame you.
You blame me? I never say doodle.
Hey, well, you smack me in my back, and then it just goes up to my brain, and something short-circuited.
And you got notes for me, brother.
All right, fine. We can exchange notes if you have something to say.
I got something to say. Let me pull out my notebook. He's like, I'm joking. Okay. But, you know, eventually party continues to go on and everybody's having a good time. It goes on for a few hours until the sun sets and, you know, you hand over the well-done burger to Alice and she takes it. You know, she's sitting with, like, all the women.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a little bit intimidating because, like, they're definitely, like, scouting the party and, like, judging people, you know, a little bit. It's like how women just, like, they're talking and a little bit of gossip and stuff like that. So you can feel it as she's sitting with them. But she accepts the burger. Party eventually goes on, and then your brother and you are kind of helping clean. You see your mother is starting to help clean as well.
Mama, you, like, put that Mama. Down. We got it.
Yes, listen. She goes, listen, I may be old and a little sick, but your mama's going to help when she wants to help. Don't touch me.
All right, Mom, I have a suggestion. How about let Wayne and I handle put this over? If you can put on some decaf for us, we can share a bit of that.
Okay. You, my boys want coffee? And Wayne's like, yes, Mama, we would love.
Yes, and you can make it in a way where it doesn't get burnt like Wayne does it.
Okay, and he punches you.
And he just does the brother shrug of, what did I do?
Oh, your mom's like, she starts to shake her head. Well, if my boys want anything, I will get them whatever they want. Okay, I know how to make it perfect for you, Wayne, and perfect for you, Elias. So, okay. You and your suggestions. And
what? So she's not lifting nothing. She can lift a coffee kettle.
Actually, you know, Wayne goes, Mama's quite strong. I don't know. Last time she pinched me in my arm, and I felt like it was about to be ripped off.
I have not forgotten the motherly pinch.
Yes, that motherly pinch. Always in the same place, too. Like, she likes to find that one spot and then just dig in.
She knows that. It's like that nervous system. She just knows how to...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I swear she was a monk in her other life. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Like a regular Jackie Chan.
Exactly. Eventually, you know, night goes on and you guys are kind of just sitting there. And your mother is just kind of sitting by the radio and listening to the music. And you see her kind of like nodding off a little bit. She's like, it's getting time for her to rest. But as you guys are closing up, Wayne is like, ah, I love this place, man. This is great. You know?
Yeah.
Just been thinking about it.
Yeah. It's our little oasis in this hellscape.
A little slice of heaven, you know. I'm just glad, you know, if anything is left to us, it's this place. We'll always have this place, you know.
Yep, this will be our fortress of solitude.
A fortress indeed.
Well, like I said, if you want me to make some ramification, I could do that.
Anyway, on to my notes about what I saw earlier with Alice.
Oh, fine. You draw the first blood, brother.
Hi, my name is Robin.
And my name is Dylan.
Do you like Choices Matter video games?
If so, we started this podcast, Dorkspawn, so that I could show my best friend my favorite RPG series of all time, Dragon Age.
And now that I've played it, we want to share more of these choice-heavy games with each other.
Right now, Robin is showing me Mass Effect, which I have never played before.
And we are going to continue playing through these games together and discussing them book club style as we go.
You can join our Discord and play along with us, and tune into Dorkspawn every Friday wherever you listen to podcasts.
It's the same shop. It's years later. Mama's no longer there. It's daytime now. Sun is high in the sky, but the space feels colder. There's no music. Tools are put away. Everything is, it's like too clean. It's too quiet. It's that same ladder. It's the same toolbox, same kind of grease stains, you know, but it's a little, maybe it looks like someone came in here and tried to clean obsessively a little bit, maybe to keep their hands busy. And you see on the shelf nearby, a dusty walkie-talkie kind of hisses softly. It's still turned on for some reason, but no one's used it in years. This is Wayne's walkie-talkie. But you haven't seen Wayne in years after the accident. And so now you're alone in the shop. You're sitting down. You know, you're not working on any cars at the moment. You're kind of like at that front desk area. People walk in.
Yeah.
You're kind of, you've been spacing out a lot lately, you know. What is he thinking in this moment? You know, there's no customers right now.
Elias, he stares at that walkie-talkie for far too long. He's a little too scared to even touch it, but... And not only that, but he doesn't touch that little small desk where Wayne used to sit. Like, Wayne's organized mess is something that Elias hasn't touched. Mm-hmm. It kind of gives him a sense of peace, but also a sense of remembering what happened. And his hand in it, just as a reminder. He stares at the ceiling, then sees, you know, there's a crack of the sunlight coming in one of the corners, part of the roof that, you know, he had always said he'd help Wayne fix, because Wayne could never get the angles just right. Thinks to himself, better go check on the solar panels again. I could fix that hole while I'm up there.
Yeah.
He says to no one.
Yeah. I have a question for Elias.
Yeah.
Now that Wayne is not here, his anger kind of has more free rein to go unchecked. Do you think that it has kind of festered and manifested after Wayne's passing?
Yes. There is no, there's a space that Wayne, no, there's a space that Elias goes, has gone to where he really lets his rage out, and they are his most private places. His bedroom, the camper has been completely destroyed in the inside. He stays in the family house and sleeps on the couch. The camper is completely destroyed. The bathroom in the garage is, the mirror is cracked. The sink has been broken to pieces and haphazardly put back together. There are some cracks in the walls where there were definitely like fist-sized holes. Elias definitely lets a lot of that out in him, but still really struggles to like show it. The best way to look at him is he's like a ticking time bomb, like, but he can control his blast at least to a point where he will wander off to these rooms and just kind of like how these days you have a rage room.
Yeah.
He has turned a lot of his personal areas into a rage room.
Yeah. So would you say that he's always kind of like at a boiling point and the water's just about to tip over?
Yeah, I would say more often than not, he has found himself a lot more easily irritated, a lot more snippy with his words, and there's very few things that compose him. Like, doing menial tasks that he can visually see that are done, like cleaning, working on jobs, he can do and sort of, like, put himself on autopilot so he doesn't have to be alone with his thoughts.
Right. So... You're kind of in this moment right now, alone with your thoughts. You see the walkie-talkie, immediately reminds you of Wayne, and you feel that kind of coldness, even though the sun is out. It's kind of like that same type of time of year that it was when Wayne would love to have those get-togethers. And you're even spacing out. And you hear from behind you, somebody goes, "Hey, hey there, friend. Hello?" And he's like snapping for, "You good?"
Elias jittered for a moment, spins in the janky chair that he has. Sorry. But you don't scare me like that.
He goes, no, I'm sorry. You turn around, you see Alice, but you also see her boyfriend. You see this like tall, kind of broad shoulders. He's wearing this clean but cheap, like button down, you know, tucked into cargo pants. And Alice, she's kind of still working at the diner. She's wearing like some denim work jeans, and you still see those like same soft eyes and freckles and like laugh lines. And the man says, "I'm so, you know, sorry." Hands up. Sorry to barge in. I'm just, you know, truck's been acting up. But we walked in the door, and even the little bell rang. So, you know, we weren't trying to surprise you.
You were. Did you make an appointment?
No. Alice here, she's mentioned your name a lot. She says that we can, you take walk-ins. I just, you know, truck's been acting up. We got to use lot special, and I think they sold us a lemon. You know, transmission sounds like it's got secrets, you know.
He mutters something under his breath that he would say to Wayne. Fox in the hen house.
What was that, friend?
Nothing. I don't have any appointments at the moment, so, yeah, I can take a look at her. Bring her around the front, backwards in, please.
You got it, friend. Thank you so much. And he makes his way out and kind of taps Alice, but she doesn't go out. He just goes to take the car, and she kind of stays there. And she's like, hi, Elias. I know it's been a while.
Yeah, it's I've been meaning to come around to the diner. My coffee's shit, and you are flawless at it.
Yeah, thanks so much. Thank you so much. But yeah, I just. He got this new truck, and I think it was a scam. So, well, you know, sometimes.
Well, I'll tell you what. Next time you and, what's his name? Teddy?
It's Teddy, yeah.
Yeah, next time you and Teddy go shopping for a car, just bring me along. I'm a bit more skilled in finding the diamond in the haystack just as much as finding the coal in the candy shop.
Right. I know, yeah, you're kind of a wizard with these engines. Yeah. Same as Wayne was, too, you know. He was always great.
Yeah, he was a... more of a magician than a wizard. He was a...
yeah.
Quite the showman.
And she's like, just looks you over kind of silently and looks at your hands and your knuckles. She goes, are you okay, Elias? Sometimes I'm worried about you.
No, there was I had a job with somebody's drive belt had snapped, and opening up the engine, the metal shrapnel was all over the place and jittering like a bunch of jumping beans. And he looks at his hands that don't have lacerations, are clearly bruised, but he just goes, yeah. Shredded them up quite a bit.
She looks a little bit unsure.
But I appreciate it. I'll tell you what. How about I finish this up for you and Teddy over there? And as long as he didn't go by a complete lame duck, I'll come by the diner for dinner. And
yeah, please come by. You know, us at the diner, we're worried about you. We want you to make we want to make sure that you're fed.
I am fine. I appreciate the concern. And but I'm just peachy. Fox in the hen house, just handling everything just fine.
Right, okay.
He's trying to keep eye contact with her, but also can't.
It's... Yeah, and she kind of, she walks up to you and she places her hand on your arm. She says, "Okay, okay." And like as her arm's on your, like the boyfriend kind of not bursts in, but the side door opens, like the side glass door. He peeks his head in. Okay, she's everything okay in here?
Yeah.
Oh,
Was telling her about another job, and he shows his hands. You know, sometimes working hands can even He looks over at Teddy and sees a much softer man. And
yes, yeah.
He's like, "Eh, never mind. It was an old joke. Yeah. You wouldn't get it. Let me see."
Yeah. Okay.
And he brushes right past him.
Yeah, and he goes, "You don't. You brush past him." He kind of whispers down to Alice. "Hey, what's this feller's deal?" And
did I hear that?
"That maybe." But you kind of rushed out. Were you walking fast?
He was walking fast. He was.
Yeah, you might have not heard it. He kind of just leaned down and whispered it to her.
Yeah, he definitely didn't hear
after
that.
You walked. You're walking out and you're continuing to work on it. You kind of pop the hood and see this smell of coolant and all that rush hits and routine takes over. But as you're working, you kind of see Alice sits down in like that designated area where people can kind of wait. There's like a small bench. But Teddy like is like a curious fellow and he's just like walking around the shop and eventually he gets to that shelf that has the walkie-talkie on it. He picks it up and he's like, "Oh, this is neat.
You put that the fuck down.
Whoa.
Put it
Whoa.
Down. That ain't
okay.
yours.
Okay.
That hey, ain't man. Yours.
Hey, man. I'm sorry. It's a child's toy." And he
I'm going to ask you to wait over there by Miss Alice and quit wandering around my shop. All right?
Okay. I'm sorry, brother, but I just, you know.
Yeah, I will take, you could stop right there. I'm sorry. And I will fix
okay.
up your clunker. How long has
hey,
this
man.
Been going with a coolant leak? This thing could explode. This radiator will burst into flame with you and Miss Alice inside. That is something that is more like a child. So don't you come in here and judge me for having something out like that when you are driving
hey.
Around in a fucking walking bomb.
Okay, my man, listen. I wasn't judging you. I was just curious and I was just looking. Okay, I didn't
know. You were doing more than looking. You was touching.
Okay, didn't know it was such a big deal.
You don't touch
that. You need to calm down, brother. Seriously.
I ain't your brother. I told you to stop talking. Go sit over right over there right now. And Elias is gripping one of the smaller wrenches in his hand so tight. He's had the urge to throw it like 3 or 4 times, but he keeps looking over at Alice and it kind of...
Yeah, and she just looks kind of shocked, but understanding at the same time as Teddy makes his way over to her and she kind of just puts her hand on his shoulder and she's like, "Just listen, this is him and his brother's shop. Like, don't touch their stuff, Teddy." And you see him like kind of shrugs his shoulder like it's not a big deal. He doesn't fully understand. He's like, I don't know, whatever.
Elias goes and he continues to work on the radiator. He finds... where the leak is, and he looks at it for a long time, and he knows the tricks, and he's seen a lot of flim-flammers be like, "Oh, I could ignore this, and he could come back and owe me more money and look stupider in front of Alice," but when he was raging, saying this thing could blow up, because, out of game, Michael's been learning a little bit about cars.
You
let that radiator ignite, it'll cause the engine, it could blow up. And he thinks about the explosion that he let happen. Mm-hmm. And he thinks better of it and patches it up.
Okay. You know,
he doesn't say
time passes.
Word. He doesn't say another word.
Yeah. Until it's finished or... Yeah. So eventually it gets finished. Do you just call them over or just be like, what do you say?
He slides out from underneath the truck, mm-hmm. slams the hood down. He checks the engine temperature. He starts it. He shuts the door. He looks over. All right, she's all good. Just had a couple of leaks of the coolant patched up. If you notice the temperature rising after, I'd say about maybe 50, 100 miles of driving, bring it on back and I could put a stronger adhesive on it. But it didn't look too bad. Also, changed your oil. Looked like you've been running empty for a while. Yeah, that's
okay.
All.
Okay. And he's just looking at you a little unsure.
Something on my face?
Okay there. Okay there, fella. How's that? How much is that going to cost me?
Elias thinks about it for a moment. He asks a little less than he should have. Normally, this would cost about $1,400 with the hours of labor and the parts, and the adhesive is tough to get a hold of. And
God damn.
I'll tell you what, I'll actually have a note here that Alice was good for one free oil change. So if she's all right with it, I'm happy to apply that and knock that down a few hundred.
Yeah, Alice says, we're very much okay with that. Thank you so much.
Sure. Hey, you know, this is a part of the job. You know, you're a returning customer. Happy to add that. He's completely lying.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
And he knocks $500 off of it. Way more than he should have.
Yeah, so, you know, the boyfriend, Teddy, pulls out his wallet, easily flips out the $100 bills. He goes, okay, thank you. And I'll take this discount as an apology for earlier. That was real weird. He goes to get in his car.
What was weird about what?
You blew up at us, man. Like, I touched a toy and you...
You call it a toy. One more time.
Okay.
Say it.
I just call it as I see it.
You don't know me. You don't know my life. You don't know this town. As far as I know, you're just some new floozy fucker who just showed up out of nowhere. Listen, yeah, I see you in your polo shirt. Haven't done a real day's work of...
You don't get to judge me
when you are the idiot who buys something this damaged and comes over here and I do you a favor and I get this done.
You see, Alice comes between you guys. Listen, I'm so sorry about him. He is new here. Okay, let's just go. Just let it lie. I'll explain everything to him. And we're just going to go. Elias, we're just going to go.
Once he says he's sorry.
Yeah. And she's like, Teddy, can you just apologize to the man? It's a special family heirloom that you touched, and it's very disrespectful. And Teddy's like, I'm sorry that I touched your toy.
Elias punches him.
Where do you punch him?
He goes for the mouth. Like a sucker punch right in the mouth.
Sucker punch. And you go to sucker punch him immediately. Like, oh!
To call it a toy. Now get the fuck out of my garage.
And you see him like go to try to punch you back. He like pushes Alice out of the way. Hand goes reeling. So as you see his like fist, it's like... You can see it coming from a mile away.
Yeah, he's
just open wide, and he doesn't know to fight, but he's just going to. So what do? Is you see his hand coming to rush back towards your face.
Elias, in that moment, knows that he could trip this guy on the ground and kick him until he's coughing blood, as it's what he's been thinking about for the past few hours. But he sees that Alice was thrown to the ground, and for a moment, sees fear in her eyes.
Yeah.
And he takes the punch.
You take the punch and you barely feel it. He has soft hands, is mostly what you feel. And he goes,
What the fuck, my man?
You get the...
What is your...
My problem is you. You get the fuck out of here or I will rearrange your face that you're gonna need to go to a mechanic to fix that.
You're gonna regret this. I swear you're gonna regret this. Alice, come on.
And she had like fell to the ground and she does look scared and she's kind of like cowering a little bit. And she's like, what are you two? What in God's name are you two doing?
Just get
Elias.
Out. Take your money back. I don't want it. And Elias takes all the wads of cash that Teddy just gave him and throws it back on the ground. Take it. I don't want it. It's fine. Just leave. Please just leave. He's not even looking at him. He's looking at Alice. Please just leave.
You're going to regret this, man.
You hear from behind you. Alice.
He mouths, I'm sorry, to Alice.
And you see her just kind of look very sad and just kind of shakes her head a little bit, but she kind of shakily stands up and walks to the other side of the truck. And you see her get in. And you see the man kind of like spits on the ground. You see blood is mixed in, gets in the car, and they drive off.
Elias follows the truck for a little bit, and then he turns back to the garage where the dust has been disturbed from Wayne's walkie-talkie, which is now sitting on its side when it was standing upright. And he holds back a well-up of tears as he very quickly touches it and sets it standing back up, facing out like it was, on an angle, so that he could always see the speaker. And he cleans up all the work, stays a little longer, and he pulls out a chair, the same chairs from the rooftop, and he sits down and he drinks back a bottle of beer. He's a little short. He's swearing at himself. He really could have used that money, but he just sits and he stares at the speaker for a little bit, and he pulls out his little walkie and says, Big Red, I done fucked up the bet. Looks like you win. Over. And he knows he won't hear anything back, but he just sits and stares at it.
As we fade to black on that scene, whether this comes from inside your head or the cosmos, some kind of like distant, kind of warped, faintly warped memory of Wayne's voice, you hear that same thing he said those years ago. Man, I love this place. This was a prelude in our Operation Firewall Character Spotlight series. The main season kicks off soon, so make sure you're subscribed on your favorite podcast platform to catch it. And if you enjoyed these glimpses into our travelers' past, consider leaving a rating or even sharing the show. It helps out way more than you know. Thanks for listening.